incorporated into that design. What we are looking for is very, very clear support from the Board of Directors in urging the Airport Authority and any others who are responsible to make sure that the redundant elevators are incorporated into the design of Rail to Dulles, which constitutes a 20%, as I understand it, 20% expansion of the metro system. Another issue that was raised was with respect to inaccessibility of restrooms in rail stations. It seems that this being an issue that has been raised in a number of public forums by citizens, riders of the rail system, that they either don't know that restrooms in the stations exist, that they're open, and that there's a lack of consistency with respect to rail station managers and staff, knowing that the policy, as I understand it, is to allow access to those restrooms, and that's something that comes up frequently among riders. Two members of the Riders Advisory Council one member recently resigned because of scheduling conflict, Manel Laporte, an at-large member, and Latea Young. Her membership was concluded on the Riders Advisory Council due to not submitting the financial disclosure form and also some concern about attendance as well. And formal communication will be sent shortly to the board with respect to seeking replacements for those two members. A resolution was also passed by the council recommending to the board of directors that a member of the Hispanic community be appointed to replace Mr. Laporte. There were some abstentions and no votes as well on that with lack of uniform support. A report was also submitted discussed at the council meeting by Mary Williams, the chair of the Metro Access Subcommittee of the RAC, regarding our March 13th Riders Advisory Council and Elderly and Disabled Committee public forum on Metro Access Services. And we are working as members of the ad hoc committee established by the board, and which I co-chair along with Mr. Kaufman, member of the board of directors, who has established a best practices group to help identify the issues that the Metro Access Program can make improvements on over the next few months, especially. We also discussed the Smart Benefits Program at Metro. It had been under our understanding, and we're still trying to ascertain a little bit of additional clarification, that the D.C. public school system apparently seems to not be participating in Smart Benefits, in addition to the MetroTrack, also having it electronically run between the agency and the employer to encourage participation, and we're looking forward to assisting the agency and working with the school system to increase enrollment, as well as among government employees in the District of Columbia. As a general item with respect to the culture of the agency, one thing that we've been thinking about is when the agency is considering or about to decide instituting a new policy or a change in rail service, that the agency really wholesale, institutionally encourage and value employees giving the thought to what does the Riders Advisory Council think? What does the RAC think? We're very, very pleased that there's an opportunity such as this forum, as well as the town hall meetings that are continuing, and dialogue with Mr. Tangerlini and other senior staff at Metro Board, at Riders Advisory Council meetings and the Metro Access Public Forum recently. But on a day-to-day basis, when staff are in the business of running the agency, we believe that the agency's performance would improve and service to the public would be enhanced. There was the opportunity for employees to be encouraged to be thinking on a constant basis, what does the Riders Advisory Council think, and asking questions and receiving input. For example, the customer service survey consulting contract that will be on the agenda today for the Riders Advisory Council, not just to know of the program and of the new contract and have it explained to us, but for the Riders Advisory Council to have the opportunity to give input respect to what are the specific questions asked of writers, whether by telephone survey or in person, whether it's focus groups. There seems to be a gap between, I certainly would say that people love Metro. They really benefit from the agency. But on a day-to-day basis, there are so many things that they just gnaw at you, and you get frustrated. And when that happens, it seems to me that there's a gap between the level of understanding that the agency has of what people are frustrated about and the reality of that. The more the agency understands what it is that people are frustrated about, the better the agency can address those concerns. Two last things. We look forward to having the opportunity to further discuss questions with respect to the organizational structure of the agency concerning customer service and the unit of customer service in the agency, how those employees relate to the rail system, the bus system, the Metro Access system. There's some questions that we've been raising and are hopeful of having further dialogue on that so that we can have some impact. And lastly, with respect to the contract today for rail and bus for customer service surveying, we noted that it did not include Metro Access. I do understand that there are some plans underway for Metro Access to be included in customer surveying to be initiated over the summer. I'm looking forward to hearing what those details are. It hasn't been apparent yet, but we look forward to gaining understanding of them. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Jaffe. Moving on to our public comment period, we have one person today who would like to give comment to the board, Mr. John Delpino.
Thank you, Ms. Mack and fellow board members. My name is John Delpino. I just want to introduce myself briefly before I make my comments. I grew up in the Silver Spring, Tacoma Park area since I was a small child, and I've lived in the Washington, D.C. area, with the exception of my four years in college ever since. I have ridden the Metro Rail almost exclusively every day since being in Washington, and I want to tell you how proud I am of the Metro system. I'm one person who definitely benefits by having Metro Rail being in the city as strong as it is. Fortunately, because of my dependence on Metro, I've never had to own a car or ever had to rent one, so I've saved a lot of money on things that come with the car, such as parking and license fees and oil, gas, and so forth. So what I want to talk briefly today is about some of my thoughts about where Metro's headed in the next few years. As we saw last week during the immigration rally, we had one of the highest ridership levels of all time for Metro's history. But even 2 days ago, as you've been reported in the popular press, Metro experienced its eighth highest total ever in ridership, even though no special events were planned. This just points to me as a symptom of how much people are becoming more dependent on Metro Rail as price of gas goes up or for convenience as more and more people move closer into stations. So I have an idea that I want to sort of propose to Metro, in that as more people ride the Metro and become dependent on it, if I were in charge of Metro myself, I would actually advocate raising the base fare from $1.35 to $1.50. Even though my student, like, right, politically might not pass base fare, I just want to tell you that sacrificing an extra 15 cents one way is not much to ask, I think, of general ridership. Considering that a gallon of bottled water can cost $10, and price of oil, gas, price of a gallon of gas approaching $4 a gallon in some places, simply raising the base fare from $1.35 to $1.50, I think, is a small sacrifice to make. And with that extra revenue, I think we better best to reinvest that into more trains that are eight-car trains, or, for example, if there are certain trains that have seats taken away, have those trains run during rush hour and revert back to normal configuration trains during non-rush hour. So again, before, just to sum up, I'm someone who believes in Metro very, very forthrightly. I believe it's a great system, very proud of it, and I think increasing fares, as long as you teach the public, it would be reinvested, help be reinvested, it would be able to go through politically. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Delpino, and thank you for your continued support and your interest in the future. Yes, right. All right. We move now to the report of the general manager.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I just would like to give a couple of brief remarks about some of the work that we've been doing over the last week, over the last month. Tuesday was a particularly special event, special day, because we spent the morning with our board member, Chris Zimmerman, as well as Congressman Jim Moran and members of the Arlington community, where we cut the ribbon on a number of additional new elevators that we've opened for the Ballston rail station as part of a broader expansion of the Ballston station. As Mr. Del Pino pointed out, Tuesday was also our eighth highest ridership day. So we added an additional day to top 10 ridership. And I don't think it was all those people going out to the Ballston event that that generated the ridership. I wish Mr. Kaufman were here because I this is his joke. We set a record on Tuesday because it was Tuesday. I also attended the Federal City Council Spring Board Luncheon on Tuesday afternoon, talked about the future of Metro, and joined the Riders Advisory Council on their April 5th meeting to hear their concerns and to listen to some of their ideas. I think some of you may have seen the item in this morning's newspaper about a Metro Transit Police Department very quickly made an arrest in the case of a man who attacked and robbed another man this past Saturday night at our Deanwood Metro rail station. I want to take a little bit of time to thank Police Chief Hansen and the tremendous staff of the Metro Transit Police Department for tracking down the potential perpetrator of that incident and bringing that person to justice. This is typical of the kind of work that our Metro Transit Police Department performs every day, day in and day out. I want to also remind everyone that we have the Cardozo High School TransTech Academy School to Work Partnership event tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., and that's an exciting opportunity for us to build the future of Metro's workforce as well as the future of the technical workforce here in the Metropolitan Washington region. I'll also be leading a walking tour of the Metro 5 original rail stations this Saturday at 9 a.m. We'll start at Metro Center at the 13th Street entrance. This is a tour that we're cooperating in the Cultural Tourism TC Walk DC program. Key events next week include the unveiling of our regional bus maps at our Rhode Island Avenue Metro Rail Station on Wednesday. Take our sons and daughters to work today on Thursday, April 27th. My oldest daughter is a little too young, so I'll be shadowed by someone else's child, and they'll probably be more impressed with what I do than my kid would be. Annual Student Poster Contest Award ceremony on Friday, April 28th. We'll be here at the Jackson Graham Building. I got to serve as one of the judges of the posters, and it was very hard to choose five good ones, never mind just one. In a few minutes, because they were all good is what I meant by that. And in a few minutes, this board is about to approve the creation of an Inspector General office, assuming everything goes as we hope. This is a historic achievement in the near 40-year history of WMATA. It reflects a lot of hard work on the part of the board, on the part of people here who join me with at the table. It's a historic moment in the history of Metro, and I'm glad to be part of it. And last but certainly not least, we have a little show and tell for you today. It'll be very brief. But at our Carmen Turner Emergency Training Facility, we now have an emergency response evacuation simulator, also known as the rollover rig. This rollover rig is designed to roll a passenger rail car 180 degrees to simulate a worst-case derailment. WMATA has partnered with the Federal Railroad Administration to build this simulator, which is the first of its kind anywhere in the United States. I'm going to ask Fred Gadeen, our Assistant General Manager for System Safety and Risk Protection, to take it from here for a brief presentation of this historic investment.
Thank you, and I will keep it brief. This is an exciting addition to our already award-winning facility over the Carmen Turner Training Facility. It really reflects the culmination of 2.5 years of partnership with the FRA. We were selected as a site. Mr. Tengler, you mentioned it's nationwide, the only one in the nation, but of its kind, it's the only one in the world. And really have to give credit to Victor Size and Chuck Novick for really taking the lead back 2.5 years ago to bring this to market. And Chuck is here with us today. Chuck Novick? Chuck and Victor conduct training for emergency first responders in the region. There are over 3,000 individuals a year through that training facility. So this is a great time. If Judy could cue it up, we could see what it actually does, the rollover rig. In the unlikely event that we have an event, and not just us, but it also pertains, has relevance for the VRE, MARC, and Amtrak. So it truly is a regional benefit training addition, and we'll be training them as well this year. But this is under a million, cost under $1 million, didn't cost us anything. This was from the FRA. We are obligated to maintain it at the cost of about $5,000 a year, lubrication and maintenance, general maintenance. But here it sits on this exoskeleton, inside this exoskeleton, and it's able to rotate the car up to 180 degrees. So in worst-case scenario, should we have a derailment collision or a breach, we do have 31 miles of common corridor that we share with the VRE and Amtrak and CSX and everyone else. So this is really going to be a valuable addition to our already successful training program. So it's going to get a lot of national and probably international attention as well. So we're really, really excited about it.
We actually did the bid rolling over this past week on Friday and then again on Monday. And I'm Chuck Novick, and I just wanted to do a little bit of the video for you. Just take a brief second to do that. I think we worked out the snafu. I'm trying to get the thing together. And it really shows.
Here we are again.
But the thing is about this rollover rig is that we'll never, ever use it with somebody in it. We're going to roll it over 45 degrees, put locking pins in the side of it so it can't move, take the power off of it, and then we'll have our first responders going in and rescuing and seeing how hard it is to go over top of seats to get two people and move people out. If the rig is 180 degrees over, for engineering purposes, to design seats and stuff like this that don't fall when it goes upside down, and this is just getting it in place. We did this, and I mean, you can see it's a massive undertaking. We did all this in one day, actually, with the cranes and the rigs and everything coming together. Fast forward this a little bit. This is it in place. It's an 85-foot long rail car, similar to what we run with Mark and VRE. Again, fast forward it again. So we go up to a little bit. I wanted to show you this rolling over. a little bit faster. We'll go. And you see that our Metro train is going over top, and then we also have on the bottom side, underneath there, we have Amtrak as well. And here it is rotating.
Not quite Disney's mission to Mars, but, you know.
Once we get it to the position we want, like that right there is about the hardest rescue position, even though it's not on its side, because now you're working against gravity if you're walking around trying to get around these seats. The farther you go over, it gives you more stability to walk on the side of the windows and on the top. So in this region right here is where we'll be training mostly our first responders like that. And I actually found a way of walking through this actually on the tops of the seats and using the luggage racks and getting through that way. And it's something that our firefighters will experience and will have to figure out for themselves. But, you know, they're going to be very disorientated. And that's a good thing to do it here, figure out what they need and how they can carry things, air bottles and everything else they need to do it. But this, the only other one is in England, and it only rotates to this position, okay? Only goes to 90 degrees. But because we partnered with the FRA, we were able to rotate 180 degrees so that for engineering purposes, like I say, the fact that the seats are now on the ceiling and nothing is falling down.
FRA will be using this to study design standards, too, for future cars. Thank you, Chuck. Appreciate it. And that's rotating 70,000 pounds, so effortlessly.
Thanks a lot, Fred. And I think it just represents the kind of additional investment that we're making in making sure that we're prepared for any eventuality and working with our first responder community so that we can be the best prepared region in the country. Thank you, Fred. Thank you, Chuck. That concludes my report, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Mrs. Ehrman?
Madam Chair, I'd like to thank Mr. Tangerlini for coming out to Arlington last Tuesday and helping us cut the ribbon on the new elevators. It's actually relevant in a number of ways. We heard some talk this morning about elevator redundancy and the need to have more than one that you're dependent on at a station. And Boston certainly is one that in the past people have been stuck because we had one elevator, and if it went out in a station that carries over 20,000, I think 24,000 people a day, that's a real problem. There are now four elevators, and that's a lot of capacity, and we're very pleased with that. And looking forward to the next step where we will work on the west side and getting more capacity at the western end of the station. But I do appreciate Mr. Tangalini's coming out. We're always happy to have you over on our side of the river. I understand that you're going to be coming to visit us over to Mary Ewell's jurisdiction next month for the Virginia Transit Association annual meeting. And I think you're moderating a panel maybe on dealing with emergencies, which seems relevant to what we just heard. And we will look forward to seeing you there at the Virginia Transit Association annual meeting, which is May 11, 12, and 13, for all you are interested.
And was that again?
thank you. Thank you, Mr. Zerman. I want to just thank Fred and Chuck and Victor for this demonstration just gave us on the rig, the rollover rig. I think it's particularly significant that the existence of the training center has attracted another capability of use for that facility. So it's build it and they will come. Very good. Thank you for that. All right. Moving on to the Planning and Development Committee, Mr. Zerman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The Planning and Development Committee met on April 6th and has one action item to bring to you this morning. This concerns the need for agreements and leases with Fairfax County and the Fairfax County Economic Development Authority and the submittal of land use applications to Fairfax County for station improvements at the Vienna Station. Committee received a report and recommends that the board authorize the general manager to negotiate and execute agreements and leases with the county and the Economic Development Authority and submit those land applications to the county subject to board approval. Well, that would be that part today, I guess, for the improvements with the understanding that the relevant, I guess, associated leases and so on and budgets will be coming back and budget committee will see them and they'll come back to the full board subsequently. But on behalf of the committee, I move approval of the aforementioned authorization.
Second. A motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, that's approved. Thank you.
We also had a couple of information items on the annual on the bus improvement program. We had the semi-annual status report and also a discussion of bus improvement actions related to the after bus peer review. We're looking forward to additional reports. We'll be hearing more about the unfunded capital needs, in particular this fall. I guess that'll be going to the budget committee this fall. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Mr. Zerman. Next, as chair of the Policy, Legislative, and Administration Committee, I am pleased to report on our action of April 6th to consider and approve a proposal to establish the Office of the Inspector General. The OIG will report directly to the board and will replace our existing Office of Auditor General, which reports to the General Manager. The proposal, which was approved, generally follows the models of federal OIGs, whose responsibilities include investigating and auditing, reviewing policies, and recommending corrective actions. The OIG shall enjoy the greatest possible independence and freedom from interference consistent with the compact. We are able to meet the spirit of proposed congressional legislation without having to undertake the lengthy and cumbersome process of amending the compact. The new OIG is expected to add $314,000 to the fiscal 2007 budget, and we anticipate that the Inspector General will be on board by October 1, 2006. The establishment of the OIG is just one of a number of actions that our board has taken over the last months to increase the transparency of this organization. This proposal represents a significant step for WMATA and shows the board's commitment to openness and accountability. I move approval.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, that's approved. Thank you. Our next action is a report by the Budget Committee. Mr. Graham.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. The following actions were referred to the Board by the Committee at its meeting on April the 13th, 2006. Approval of a resolution for capital improvement program for FY06 adjustments. The staff requested approval of a resolution to adjust FY06 and FY08 for program elements in the Metro Matters program. The adjustments are for the infrastructure renewal program and the rail cars and facilities elements. I move approval.
Motion.
Second.
And a second. Those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed. That's approved. Mr. Graham.
The second item is approval of resolution for FY07 annual work plan and distribution of FY07 to FY08 program to jurisdictions for review and comment. Staff requested approval to distribute this annual work plan and follow-up year's capital improvement program to jurisdictions for review and comment. The annual work plan was approved for distribution to the jurisdictions by the committee on March 16th. I move approval.
Okay.
Motion and a second. Discussion? Those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed. That's approved.
Staff asked for approval to initiate and award a contract for managing Metro Emergencies training courses and to ratify a subgrant agreement with the D.C. Office for Domestic Preparedness. Staff also requested approval to include $335,250 in review, in revenue rather, and $335,250 in expense to the proposed FY07 operating budget to award the training contract. I move approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none. Those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed.
Staff sought approval to initiate and award a contract for customer satisfaction measurement with a 3-year base period and 2 1-year options. The total cost for the base period is $555,000 and $420,000 for the option years. Funding of $175,000 to award the first year of the base contract is included in the 07 operating budget. I move approval.
And a second. Discussion? Those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Passes.
Staff requested approval to initiate and award one or more contracts for professional and technical litigation services to provide support for the authority during a trial. The requested funding of $250,000 is in the approved FY06 operating budget. I move approval.
Motion and a second. Discussion? Those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? That's approved.
Finally, staff requested approval to modify the current labor legal professional support contract by $100,000. The contract modification is required to provide us support during collective bargaining negotiation. Funding of $100,000 for this action is contained in the approved FY06 operating budget. I move approval.
We have a motion.
I move approval.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? Those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed. That's approved.
Other items that the committee considered just briefly is that the distribution of the proposed FY07 operating budgets to jurisdictions for review and comment. The committee approved that request. We had follow-up questions and answers from the March 9th meeting, and we had a staff report on the Writers Advisory Council and the budget hearings, et cetera, which we attended ourselves to. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Graham. May I ask, when will we have the staff report on the hearings that we conducted pursuant to the budget?
We should have those, Ms. Mack, in May for the May Budget Committee meeting.
Okay, thanks. Just curious. All right, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Graham. We move now to the Audit and Performance Committee. Mr. Kaufman had schedule conflicts and was unable to be here today, and so we will ask Mr. Mayor Ewell, our Vice Chair, to give the committee report.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The in the absence of the chairman and the vice chairman of the audit committee, there was no committee meeting. Therefore, the external audit and related materials are being moved forward to the board of directors for acceptance as well as their approval to exercise the option for external audit services for FY 2006. The first item is approval of a resolution for FY 05 external audit and related materials submitted by KMG LLP FS Taylor. Consistent with previous years, the financial auditor provided an unqualified opinion, and the OMB Circular A-133 single audit provided an unqualified opinion. Staff concurs with the recommendations. Therefore, I move that approval of the external audit and related materials, including a staff response, be accepted by the board.
We have a motion. Can we have a second?
Second.
And a second to approve the audit. Is there any discussion?
It's accepted.
Mr. Lent, I'm sorry, accepted the audit instead of approved it.
Mr. Thank Lent. You, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I just wanted to note for the board, and we had some early discussion about this, and it's reflected in our audit report, this issue of deferred revenue, which relates to how, in fact, we account for revenues that are in our Smart Trip and other kind of programs. And it's been noted that we need to, address some policy on how we're going to deal with deferred revenue. It does have an impact on subsidy, how we allocate and account for that. And it's indicated in the audit report the amount of that, which is now some $69 million. So I think we need to bring some attention to that. I just want to make a notation of that.
I'm glad you raised that, Mr. Lenton. That's a matter that I have some interest in as well, and we should certainly get a discussion of that on the agenda at an appropriate time. Thank you.
Now, let me
ask for a parliamentary clarification.
Who is yours?
Mayor Ewell, are the Virginia votes interchangeable as are the district? In other words,
yeah,
can you make a motion? Okay, all right.
Good point.
Okay.
In that case, I can step back, but somebody else needs to second the motion.
Yes,
fine.
Mr.
Okay.
I'll step back.
I'll be glad to second it then.
Okay, fine. Thank you, Mr. Deegan, for calling that to my attention. So the motion is made by Mayor Ewell, seconded by Mr. Deegan. And so now, did we vote?
No.
We did not vote yet. Okay. So if there's no further discussion, I will call for a vote.
I thought our staff might have wanted to. Charles, did you want to respond in some way?
Yeah, I'd be glad to respond to that ever so briefly if you want to. The issue is in the deferred revenue, which is Smart Trip, Smart Benefits that customers purchase. And we have this they have not used the fair media at this point. It did increase $15 million. However, it's remained relatively constant at about 12-13% of overall revenues. The current unofficial policy is we recognize 3% of that a year, which is about $15 million. I've asked the auditors to look at this and come back to us with a recommendation. I think it's very conceivable that we could increase what we recognize by a percentage point or two. I don't think we're going to go to anything like 10-12%. But there is a potential that we should be a little more generous in how much of that revenue we recognize as an annual revenue that we can put into the budget process. One of the issues that the board may consider at some point in the future is whether we want an expiration date on such fair media.
Right, I think we should consider that and any other options that we might have to make sure that we are being as aggressive as we can about utilizing that revenue, getting it, actually earning it, I guess, is the
And we'll follow up with the auditors and bring this back to the board in the future for discussion and policy.
Aye, thank you. Thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed. That's approved. Thank you.
Last item, Madam Chairman, is approval to exercise the first of 2 one-year options to extend the contract with KPMG for external audit services for FY 2006 audit for a total of $205,100. I move approval to do so for the service year FY 2006.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? That's approved. Thank you. And thank you, Mayor Yule. And thank you, Mr. Zimmer. A report by the Customer Service Operations and Safety Committee. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Staff came this day to the Customer Service Operations and Safety Committee and requested approval from the Board of Directors to authorize extending the contracting authority for preventive maintenance through FY10. This action may result in modifications to the existing contracts FJ0957, FK0243, and FM1201. Approval to initiate and award procurement actions to rehabilitate approximately 200 Westinghouse MOD-100 escalators. With that, the official document in the MEED is in your folder, and I would move the MEED number 99252, which describes that.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? That's approved. Mrs. Smith.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The staff also brought recommendations for modifications to make off-peak service improvements on the rail system for FY07. The first was recommending approval of an 18-month demonstration District of Columbia reimbursable project to extend the Yellow Line to Fort Totten in the off-peak. The projected operating expense of $4.5 million for this 18-month demonstration project and a one-time capital expense of $1.25 million shall be borne by the District of Columbia with no increase in subsidy to the non-sponsoring jurisdictions. Simultaneously, there was a recommendation of approval of an 18-month demonstration Maryland reimbursable project to eliminate the Grosvenor turnback in the off-peak. The projected expense of $2.25 million for an 18-month demonstration project would be borne by Maryland with no increase in subsidy to non-sponsoring jurisdictions. There's a resolution affirming this recommendation in the document in your folders titled FY07 Off-Peak Service Improvements, and I move the resolution.
Motion. And a second. Is there any discussion?
Madam Chair.
Mr. Graham and then Ms. Hudgens.
I just want to say on behalf of the District of Columbia how pleased we are with the Yellow Line extension. This, at a comparatively low cost, and I don't want to suggest that millions of dollars is real money, but at a comparatively low cost, this is a major service expansion. And it affects not only the District of Columbia, but also Virginia. And I just want to briefly mention what the advantages are. First, the Yellow Line will have a new connection to the Red Line. The neighborhoods, the mid-city neighborhoods in the District of Columbia will have a direct line to National Airport as a result of this. And the off-peak service, which ordinarily you might say, well, it's not peak service, it's not as relevant. In point of fact, the off-peak service will be very relevant to the stations in the middle of the District of Columbia, most particularly the Columbia Heights station, because it will give new service for this new retail development surrounding Target, which is about to be dedicated at Columbia Heights, 550,000 square feet of retail. And this will give a great opportunity for our friends in Virginia to come into the District of Columbia to shop more. And this will give them a direct route. And by the way, the dedication of this new retail center is scheduled, I think, very appropriately for May 5th and 6th. So we'll be able to go to this dedication with this very good news that starting in January 07, we'll be extending the Yellow Line to Fort Totten. I'm very pleased that the government of the District of Columbia is going to foot the bill for this, but it's a relatively modest amount of money for a very important service expansion. So we're very pleased, and I just wanted to make that point. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Graham. Ms. Hudgens.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I, as I indicated before, I see Mr. Graham's movement of this as an improvement for the larger system, and I think he eloquently makes the case of why the importance of the extension of this service as we see a growing demand. As I noted earlier, I think with the same philosophy of extensions, I see the same in terms of us moving into the expansion of the Dulles Rail Project, and I look forward to that coming to fruition here as it comes before this board in the future. I think, Mr. Graham, it would provide the synergy of people moving to and from the region in terms as we all grow, and we sit waiting for that to happen. I'd like to ask a question that I did not ask in the committee, that should this pilot go forward and become part of the integrated service, can you give a relative cost as to what the subsidies are? I guess I would ask for Virginia, but there will be subsidy increases in each of the areas.
If the pilot moves forward and becomes operational on an annual basis, we estimate the cost to be $3 million a year. We haven't estimated any revenue effect of on that as well. So that would just simply be the operating cost, which would then be distributed according to the operating formula, which is roughly 40% D.C., 40% Maryland, and 20% Virginia. And then that is broken up by the specific jurisdictions. Do you have Fairfax? Yellow Line annual subsidy would be $426,270 annualized.
Madam Chair?
Mayor Barry.
Let me speak in support of that motion and to commend my colleague, Councilmember Graham, for being persistent and insistent bringing this forward. It's certainly not only to the Alice Morgan area and Mount Pleasant area, but for the entire city in terms of people coming from Fort Totten and being able to go to the National Airport. So thank you, Jim, for that.
Thank you, Mr. Barry. Let me just comment on the point that was made by Mr. Tangerlini. While you do not have any revenue estimates for this, surely there would be some offsetting revenue, and I wouldn't want us to go away thinking that the operating numbers are just going to be pure additions to our cost.
And that's part of the 18-month period to understand what it does, in fact, do to ridership. Does it change it? Does it change our revenues and split it out?
Right. I just hate for us to just leave the cost out there and not even mention the revenue change. And I'm sure there will be, because I believe this will be bringing new riders to the system and longer rides in some cases. So, all right. Right. And if there's no further comment, I'll call for a vote. Those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? That's approved. Thank you. We now have 14 with our revised agenda consent items.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Move approval of administrative actions 2 through 13.
Can we get a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve items 2 through 14.
13, I think, is the last.
Well, we added one.
Oh, the additional item you wanted to
do. Yeah, right.
All right.
And is there any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? That's approved. Item 1. Can we get a motion to approve item 1?
Can we get a report from staff?
Well, let's see if we can get a motion first.
I move approval.
We have a motion and a second. I'll second. And we would like to have a report from the staff. Mr. Zimmerman requests a report.
The proposal is to add to exercise the option year 2 with a modification for increased service to our current parking customer assistance contract, which provides for the parking assistant staff at our parking lots. The option just keeps them there working. The extension, the modification for increase, would allow us to manage the Morgan Boulevard, Largo Town Center stations during events at FedEx Field, to add additional staffing during the tourist season on off-peak periods, and to and to just handle system expansion and demand as we've managed the transition to Smart Trip as the way you pay for parking. This is an extension and an exercise, an option for an existing contract with LAS parking, which staff has been pleased with the quality of the service.
Mr. Tanglini?
Yes, sir.
You obviously are very well aware that the previous actions on this, the board members have expressed concern about the treatment by the contractor of some of the employees, and in particular of the question of their efforts to organize. And last year, a number of members of this board, that I believe included yourself as a member of the board at the time, signed a letter to the then general manager expressing concern and asking for effort to be made to ensure that the employees had that opportunity. Now, I understand that since becoming interim general manager, you have been engaged in an effort to facilitate this. Can you tell us a little bit about what's happening?
I've been exploring the issue from the operational side, trying to understand what the rights and the responsibilities, the contractual requirements are that the authority has with the parking provider. Now, the employees have the right to organize by petitioning the National Labor Relations Board for recognition of an election. They're actually seeking to have something called a card check agreement, by which they would have a voluntary agreement with the operator to submit the request to organize under a particular union. Our agreements require that the provider not interfere in any way with them exercising their right to organize, but our agreements don't really tell us or give us direct instruction on how we would have them organize. And so it's a very difficult position from a legal standpoint, from a contractual standpoint. The contractor actually does have legal rights to defend themselves, if you will, against organizations. All that having been said, I've actually reached out to the Unite people, I've reached out to the contract folks and asked if they would actually engage in a conversation that didn't go through the authority and didn't go through the board and, in fact, went between each other. And I've actually gotten agreement from both of them that they'll sit down, I think, sometime next week here in Washington to discuss their mutual interests and their options. So I feel to the extent that we can, the extent that we're legally permitted and the rights we have under our contract, as general manager, I've done as much as I can to bring the parties together.
You don't know what the outcome of that will be then?
I have no idea what the outcome of that will be.
And Chairman, I think that before we award the contract here, we ought to see and give the opportunity for that meeting to occur. And I'd like the opportunity to see this after those parties have that chance to talk. And so I'd move that we defer this item till the next meeting of the board.
This is a substitute motion. There is a motion on the floor.
It's a motion to defer. I mean, you can call it a substitute.
Mr. Barron.
Madam Chair, I would just like to be recorded in support of Mr. Zimmerman's, both his rationale and the action that he's proposing here. I think there's a very important step that we need to take, and it's right to take this before this is ratified. And so I would support the deferral of this matter.
Mr. Barry.
Madam Chair, it seems to me that, thank you, Mr. Zimmerman, for raising that, that we ought to, not at this meeting, but sort of just indicate, not formally, but just in speaking, that I would be interested in trying to make sure that the workers don't have to go through the National Labor Relations Board, that card checkoff would be a way of facilitating this. But just sort of let the contractor know that we're interested in and making it as easy as you can, sort of as a way to loosen that contract up to the fact that unions are important, and good unions are important, too.
Thank you. Ms. Hudgens?
Thank you both, Mr. Zimmerman, for bringing it forward, and Mr. Tagnolini for the work that you've done. How long has this request been made for us as a board to ask that the employees be given the opportunity to continue and they not be obstructed by the contractor?
The board never formally made a request. It was last month that the board asked that I work with the parties to see what we could do. There has been discussions over the last year about, you know, whether Metro would involve themselves in the issue. And what I've done is recognizing that there are limitations, legal and contractual, about what we can do, and their implications, frankly, if we get involved in the contractors' relationships with their employees over representation. I simply ask that the two parties meet and discuss them among themselves. There are operational implications with not moving forward right now, and I ask Ms. Wilkins to join us if the board would like to be apprised of some of those.
Madam Chairman, I would be glad to hear what the operational barriers might be, but I also wanted to point out that I think because this discussion has been going on so long, the deferral seems most appropriate, and recognizing that we are not to be party to what they will work with the contractor to negotiate. I think the point to make sure that they have the opportunity, which is their right as employees, and that by deferring it, we really do send the clarity of message that we are supportive of them having the right to do so. I would like to hear what the barriers are, and I think that's important, but I still am concerned about it.
Ms. Wilkins.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I did want to mention the most important consequence of not moving forward. And that is that there will be an immediate adverse impact on our customers. Let me give you an example that's very recent. Within the last 10 days or so, there was a march downtown that resulted in very, very significant custom on our service and a large number of people leaving parking facilities at the same time. And in the absence of moving forward with the modification of the contract, and by the way, this option year ends June 30th, we would experience an immediate need to terminate the contractor, and we would find ourselves completely without PCAR support. Remembering that the PCARs are important in assisting people with using SmartTrip in the parking facilities, we have found their utility, particularly in this season when we have a large number of tourists visiting us. And not only that, but one of the other reasons that we need this modification is because we have four new facilities that require this very self-same support. Recognizing the justice of the concern that has been expressed here about making sure that the contractor does in no way interfere with any type of unionization activities. I still think, though, that we have an immediate problem, and that is that our customers need the support that the PCARs offer to them in leaving our parking facilities. Because, as you know, if they don't have a SmartTrip card.
I'm sure.
Yes.
You want to let her finish her sentence?
I would just like her to focus on the timing issue. I don't think the question here is one of not having the support. I think the question is very clearly, what would the timing of deferring this action today do to your inability to have the support? That's all we need to
there really are us. There really are two actions. One is a modification to allow for the additional staffing, and then the second is the exercise of the option. And one option available to the board would be to divide those actions. Approve the modification, which would allow for the additional staffing, continued service, and then given the fact that the option doesn't expire until June 30th, really we would need, in order to exercise it, we would need action by the board in the next month at the latest on the option. So that might be one option available to the board that limits the impact immediately.
And so what we're referring to here then would be an immediate action today to modify in the amount of $492,360, for this is option year one, in order to allow us to finish out this contract year with the level of service that is required. And then we could split the action and have next month an action for about $3.8 million for the second option year plus modification to that base contract value, to again allow for services for Redskins parking, the additional staffing for tourist season, and staffing for the system expansion.
Mr. Deegan.
Is the contractor performing satisfactory?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Ms. Smith.
Yes, just on something you just said, Ms. Wilkins, the $492,360 for the additional staffing, that's just to finish out this year?
That's correct. That is correct. What we find in this particular season is a very significant increase in requirement for PCARs for tourist season. Because, as I'm sure you've witnessed yourself at Shady Grove and other terminal stations, there's tremendous demand, particularly in the afternoons when people are leaving. There's a lot of confusion still about the ability of persons to get out of the parking facilities, and they routinely have to be sent back to purchase a smart car.
I mean, I just asked if it's to fill out this year. It's not an annual amount.
No, sir. It's to finish out this year.
$500,000 in 3 months.
Yeah, can I refer you to the MEAD, because it looks like on the MEAD it says $492,000 to modify option year one.
Yes, ma'am.
And then $527,000 to modify option year two.
That,
those
that's
seem to
correct.
Be annual amounts.
Yes. Well, maybe I misunderstood the question. The additional $527,000 for option year two is in addition to the base amount that was originally contemplated when the contract was awarded. That was prior to system expansion, and that was prior to our determination that we needed additional support because of the tourist season.
But 527 in option year two.
Correct,
is for the 12 months of option year
it
two.
Is.
Well,
it
then
is.
How can possibly the next 3 months cost $492,000?
Well, again, that's an additional amount on top of the $3.3 million for the base contract for option year two, which begins July 1st.
Are we covering what we've already done for the 9 months of this year?
Pardon me, sir?
Does that $492,000 also cover, like, what extra has been thrown into it prior to this point, or is that?
Let's ask our CFO that question. Where did he go? Oh.
Maybe I should write.
Okay, Chuck, can you help us out of this dilemma here?
I think I'm probably in a better position to answer the question. We are coming
for 12 months be the same as the price for 3 months.
Yeah, that's the problem.
We are coming very close to expending the entire value of the contract that has been awarded to date. And this action is necessary in order for us to continue the service.
Yeah, you can try.
Pick me. I'm going to try this a little different way.
Okay.
You have some additional activity you want them to be doing.
Correct.
That costs more.
Yes.
You're asking to do it now in the current year. That's the first part. That's the modification for this year.
Yes, sir.
There's 3 months left in this year.
Correct.
So there's the money you have to pay that you want us to give you to pay for the 3 months of that additional service.
Uh-huh.
You then want that additional service to go for next year for 12 months.
Correct.
But the price of the 3 months this year is almost exactly the same as the price for the 12 months next year. How is this possible?
Let me tell you what I think she's saying to us, Mrs. Zeller. Let me try this.
Can we let her answer for herself first?
Okay, all right.
I can try to clarify this. This is a requirements contract. And the requirements, there were additional requirements added through board presentations to add staffing. Plus, there also, when this contract was let several years ago, we had system expansion and other duties required of this contract. And this is the funding to do those, to add that contract authority. It's a requirements contract, and you order up the services as they're needed. And this is to fund those additional services.
Okay. I don't think you answered my question. How does 3 months, or are you telling me it's for the last 9 months, too, and you already spent it?
It's for the last 9 months too. We had an estimate of what the first option year would cost. We added in FedEx service. We added in additional service. We've recognized that we need additional staff to cover the holiday season. As we've been burning through that number, we realize as we come into the last 3 months that we've added all this extra stuff. We need to pay for it both to close out the month, and we need to add to the option year two. We need for the whole year, option year two, we need extra service because we now recognize that we didn't have enough when we started. So this is to amend the option year one to add $492,000 the impact is if we don't do it, then we, at some point, we will run out of money on the PCARs, and we will have to send them home, as well as to exercise option year two and keep them here next year and recognize the fact that we need additional service next year from them because of the additional services we're providing customers.
Part that's hard to understand is that the additional, for instance, facilities you're referring to, I presumably the opening of the stations at Largo and Morgan Boulevard and so on, that was a year and a half ago.
Right, but the contract was designed and the budget was designed before they were open, before we took it.
I understand that, but you've known for a year and a half that those stations were open, and it seems odd that here we are with 3 months to go in the fiscal year, and oops, we spent that money.
What we've done is we've figured out how much the extra cost of providing that additional service is. We figured out over the period, and so now we're coming back and asking to add that on exercise option two, as well as add that to option year two.
Thank you.
I guess we could have, in retrospect, come back sooner and said, this is where we're heading with this, and I'll work harder in the future to make sure that that's the kind of visibility we give to the board on these kinds of situations.
Yeah, I would like to point out as well that one of the reasons that we needed
this. I'll stop you for a second. Let me just hear from Mr. Barrett.
I'm sorry.
Madam Chair, Members, well, I get the impression that what is happening here is that the staff is spending money at a higher rate than was in the budget.
Exactly.
If we don't approve this money,
right,
they're running out of money anyway.
Right, exactly.
If that's the case, they ought to say that.
Exactly.
And do what Mr. Catalina said, come early. So they I hate for people to assume we're going to do something
3 months
before we do it.
Right.
And so I think the staff kept spending money, adding things to it. And now we come, so, Mr. Gentleman, that's why I think the difference here is that they now are asking the $400,000 to help make up for the overspending in the past, then add that to the future.
Yes.
12 months. Is that correct, Mr. Chairman?
That pretty much sums it up. I might put it a little differently, but that's about right.
If the contract were to continue to the end of the fiscal year without any additional money, how much overspending would it be?
About $492,360.
Exactly. Right.
527.
Well, I'm not trying to say, you know.
Exactly. Right. Okay. Yes.
So the board has no choice in it.
Ms. Hudgens.
I think Mr. Zimmerman's motion was to move forward with the, I may have heard that, the modification. Did you not say that?
He wanted to defer.
I'm sorry. There was
that option was presented to us.
My concern was that we might want to move forward with this modification, and from the discussion that's gone on, I'm not sure of the urgency. Well, we've just been told it could go until the end of June. So if it can go to the end of...
No, Madam Chair.
Contract runs out at the end of June. The funds available to the contract runs out sooner than the end of June. That's what the modification does.
Whether it will come to this board again?
If we have the modification, then we'd have to come back to the board for the option year.
I understand that, but is it going to run out before we see the item again as requested in the deferral?
Yes, ma'am, I believe at the current rate of expenditure.
That's
keeping in mind, and I do want to clarify this, Redskins parking, additional staffing for tourist season, and the additional P-cars for tourist expansion have all been, system expansion, excuse me, have been presented previously. In terms of how much this was going to cost, it was not clear earlier on. And what we have done now is we're coming back to you with an assessment of what this is likely to run through the end of the year, and this is a very good estimate.
Sure.
1 second. I think we had Mr. Barry before you, Mrs. Zimmerman.
I'm sure it's clear, Ms. Hutchinson, that they've been overspending.
Yes.
And that we are in a bind. If we don't approve this, you're going to have to cut the service back or let them overspend. I think we ought to add to this motion to go forward on this modification, but with an addendum admonishing the staff for this kind of budgeting. And don't do it again.
Oh. Well, let me just make a comment here. The year one option expires what month?
30th.
June 30th. And so if you keep on doing if we delay this for a month, and you keep on doing what you have already been doing, and we bring this back for approval next month, nothing changes, right?
Ma'am, I think that puts you in a ratification position, and we would prefer not to go there. Obviously,
we must already be there because we've spent authority that we didn't
no,
have.
No, we've spent authority we have had. We recognize that if we keep spending authority at the current rate, we will be spending authority we don't have. The question is, do we want to continue to provide customers with the level of service we're providing them now, levels of service with additional service that have been discussed in the past in other meetings, or do we start cutting back service so that we don't overspend the contract?
Mr. Taglini, the truth is that this question should have been raised probably about 6 months ago when it was clear that we didn't have enough. I understand, so I'm giving him immunity. about 6 months ago when it was clear we didn't have enough money in the contract. So I think we now kind of understand what the issue is, and we certainly don't want to cut anything back. We need to take an action that will keep us going forward. So, Mrs. I think, were you next? Okay, you're next.
Madam Chairman, I'm willing to accept the alternative that Mr. Tangerlini suggested, that we approve the modification for this year, since it does seem inevitable that that's going to be spent, with the proviso that the option on the exercise of the option for year two come back next month, along with its modification. I think that that will accomplish what I was originally seeking to do and give us time to really take a look at this thing, remove any concern about the action for, you know, the current services in the next 3 months for customers using our parking facilities.
Was that a motion?
I'm offering that out. You know, there are other people on the board, and see what others think.
Well,
I have expressed my willingness to modify.
Well, do that.
It's not my power to do. It's a motion before the body. The body has the motion.
Oh, you can draw your original motion.
Only with the permission of the board.
With a second, it has to withdraw, too.
Well, that's actually not parliamentary procedure. That's simply what people do.
Okay, well,
nonetheless,
let's do something.
I am interested in what the seconder might think about what I just said.
That's fine.
Well, then, if there's unanimous consent, then I would ask for the motion to be altered to deferral of option year two and modification of option year two and approval to the modification for year one.
Okay, so that's a new motion?
It's a new motion. If
okay,
no
is there a second? Okay, all right.
Discussion.
Mr. Smith.
Okay, so if we put this off now, what specifically timing-wise is that due to us in terms of approving the second option year? If we defer that, that means we're coming up on the third Thursday in May with the question on the second option year. Is that correct? Okay. If we come up in the third Thursday of May with a second option year, are there notice requirements in the contract that affect us in any way relative to the current contractor in terms of in the event that this board were to not extend the second option year in May, what position does that leave us in? General counsel, anyone that can answer that?
Well, there are no notice provisions per se, but obviously as soon as we recognize that the contract is not going to be extended beyond June 30th, then we have to make provision to then button up the contract, if you will, to remove by June 30th the PCARs from their locations and to proceed to close out the contract.
And what would that mean in terms of procurement, and on the assumption that we would want to continue the services, what would that mean in terms of procurement on a timeline basis relative to the services themselves, given that we'd be addressing it the third Thursday in May?
There would not be sufficient time to put an RFP out on the street and get it processed.
But you would have to, so there'd be a gap in service were we to defer at that point.
That is correct, but as I have been asked previously, how is the contractor performing? Extremely well, and so it has never been staff's position that it would be in our best interest to to terminate the contract at this juncture. Obviously, we will re-procure after the last option year.
Okay. Well, discussion on the motion, in so much as the contractor's been performing his tasks well throughout the year, which is not the case that we've had in every contract that I've been involved in this authority, and that by deferring it to next month, we could only possibly create more turmoil in the process and uncertainty with regard to the service provider himself. I don't see why we would defer that at this time. I think we should move forward with extension of the modification. So I would vote no on the motion at hand.
Any further discussion? Mayor Barry.
In terms of the process here, it seems to me that if you're asking us to vote to exercise the second option, which is part of the original motion, there ought to be some kind of evaluation, written evaluation, as to the performance, not just a verbal statement. So some of us can ask questions about it and look at it. That's going to be important. Now, Madam Chair, help me with this. How do we add to this motion an instruction to the staff that not only with this budget, but any other budget in the authority, that when there's a trend that we're about to spend at a greater rate than we had budgeted, they bring it to the board immediately. Because right now we're between a rock and a hard place, and I don't like that. So could I add that friendly amendment that has been instructed to, from now on and any other budgets, Mr. Zimmerman, to bring this before us before?
Mr. Barry, in the narrative in the ME, there is a discussion about the performance of the contractor. Yeah, there is. If the discussion is over, then we will vote.
Let's vote.
On the motion to delay the exercising the option. Those in favor
So there's two parts to the motion as it currently stands. One is the deferral portion, the other is to go forward.
Okay, well, let's vote on the deferral portion first.
No, it's one motion, but you only read part half of it.
Okay.
It's a motion to approve the modification for year one of $492,360 and to defer the decision.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood how you had reconstructed it.
Right.
Okay, so those in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
No.
All right, so the motion fails.
On the basis of? Well, you didn't give a vote count.
It fails 4-2.
Four in favor, two opposed.
Yeah, right. And
that passes.
It does not pass because we do not have a vote from each jurisdiction.
In other words, it fails on a jurisdictional veto.
Oh.
The Maryland members haven't voted no. Just wanted to make that clear.
Fine. Okay. Now, what I would entertain a...
Well, you have the original motion to
That's
approve.
What's in front of the board right now.
Okay, the original motion is before us to approve, as presented, the staff recommendation. Those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Madam Chair?
Aye.
Madam Chair?
Yes?
Has the appropriate committee looked at this contract in terms of its performance? Look at the process around here.
Well, we're in the middle of voting.
Well, we are voting,
yes,
Mr. Barrett.
The vote hasn't been cast yet, so I have an opportunity.
All right. So those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
And those opposed?
No.
No.
I'm voting in Mr. I will vote for Mr. Collinson. No.
And you're voting no, and I'll vote no. So that fails. Now, can we split I would recommend that we split the issues.
Very well, I'll move approval of the modification to option year one of $492,360.
Okay, we have a motion and a second that we modify option year one.
Who's the second?
Mr. Oh, that's right. You can't second.
I second.
And you almost succeeded. Okay. Any discussion? Those in favor?
Madam Chair. I sit here and I just can't understand why I would ever want to be a contractor for this authority. I mean, this it's you're just jerking these people around for no good reason other than some personal feelings about unions. The guy, our staff has told us they're doing an excellent job. The customers are happy with the job they're doing, and we're just playing politics here, and I think it's kind of a disgrace.
Madam Chairman. Madam Chairman. I'm sorry, but I believe that we are responsible for the people who work for this system, for the people who provide the service to our customers every day. And that's true whether they happen to be direct employees of this agency or whether they happen to be working for us through a contractor. It happens that the people involved in this case are just about the lowest paid people, the lowest remunerated, the people with the least benefit of anybody who works for this agency or probably any government in the region. And I think if you met with some of them and learn a little bit about what they struggle with, you might feel a little bit differently about this. And all we're asking for here, which a number of us have been asking for some time, and the answer to Ms. Hudgens' questions earlier was, we heard about this last summer. All we're asking is that those employees get the opportunity for what all the other employees of the agency have, which is fair representation. And all we're asking for that is that we not award a second-year option to the contractor that has been trying to obstruct that to defend itself from organization for 1 month. Now, some of the answers we heard from staff about this suggest that it doesn't matter what we do because there's no choice. We have to ratify this one anyway in the end because there's not time to get another contractor, and the money's already spent here. And I'm wondering what it is we're doing with this item anyway. If staff has already basically made those determinations and put us in the position that it's too late for us to decide to do any of this, why do I even need to cast a vote on this? But assuming that I still play some role here, and that ensuring justice to the people who work for us is at least a part of that, then I think I can take one more month to take a look at this contract and see what we have 30 days from now.
Madam Chair.
Chairman? I think I heard Ms. Hudgens first, and then Mr. Smith, and then Mr. Deegan.
Madam Chairman, the staff item indicates, as was noted, that the performance has been high. And I would think that the fact that it has been high is obviously the employees are doing a good job. Therefore, they are only asking for the opportunity to have the option to try and organize themselves. And I would think another month for us to ensure that this contractor recognizes their request and provides them the opportunity to make those decisions is not a obstruction of us moving forward in this contract. I think it really would acknowledge the role of both the contractor and the employees. I agree with Mr. Zimmerman. If we have gotten to this point and we have little that we as a board could do about it anyway, I think the business is not being carried forward in the manner that's appropriate. So I don't see the deferral for 1 month to be at all a barrier to the contractor.
Mr. Smith.
It may not be a stringent barrier. However, as I tried to articulate a few moments ago, it really serves no purpose but to disrupt the situation in which we exist, in so much as were we to consider an option that you were not going to extend the option in the contract in May, if that decision is really on the table for consideration, there are so many consequences that result from that going throughout the summer and into the early fall, which is a heavy season around here, that it is almost unthinkable that we could do that. So the only purpose in playing this game is to try to put our hand on the scale, put our thumb on the scale, and tilt the negotiation between the contract owner and his employees in their negotiations over what they're doing vis-a-vis labor unions. And quite honestly, I don't think we have a role in that at this point in time. We may have had a role in that back when we discussed this contract at the very beginning, but we have entered into a contract. There are option years into that contract. The contractor has put forth these prices in good faith. We agreed to them. The question is whether to extend them or not. And if there was really ever a thought that we weren't going to extend them, and I guess staff had no reason to think there was such a thought in so much as the contractor is doing an excellent job, the contract should have been brought in a lot earlier than this. Well, it wasn't, and we're sitting here in a situation where it doesn't make sense to not go, to use a double negative, to not go forward with the option at this point in time. We may as well do that. We'll go through an option year, and then at some juncture, the contract will be rebid. There won't be any options left. Is this the final option? It's the final option. So next February or next January, we'll be rebidding this contract in its whole. And if those of you who feel strongly about there being language or requirements dealing with union representation on this particular contract should express them at that time when we reconfigure a request for proposal next winter. To do it now only upsets the apple cart, can only cause grief and consternation in the community at large. And were we actually to come here next May and say, because X, Y, or Z did not happen, we are now not going to renew this option. I have been sitting here long enough that I was here for the parking escapades prior to enacting this contract, and I'll tell you, I don't want to go through that scenario again. So, you know, please, let's just come out from behind the curtains here, call the cards, and move forward with this option. I think this is ludicrous.
Mr. Deegan.
I'd like to associate my comments with Mr. Smith. This is ludicrous. As I said, and the staff has said, the contractor's doing it, his performance is high. There's no reason not to have this contract renewed. And the only reason is because these employees, there's a way that they can get unionized. I'm the son of a union president. If they did it the right way, they'd probably be unionized. But they want to come to this board to make us authorize their union. That is not the way that process works. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Barry, you have the last comment on this, and we've got to call for a vote.
It seems to me that I'm not as familiar with this as some others, but from acting together, the contractor has been obstructionist in this process of organizing. So if Mr. Smith, Mr. Deegan, if anybody is to blame the contractor for not coming to the table earlier.
I'm not sure that's confirmed, Mr. Barry.
I said from what I can gather.
The way our contract is structured is that they cannot actually obstruct organization, and they haven't, but they do retain legal rights.
We've done subtle things.
To not support organization.
We've done subtle things.
There's no evidence. There have been no complaints. There's been nothing.
I think Mr. Zimmerman mentioned it earlier, that there have been seemed some subtle, you know you can recognize a child. You know that subtle ways you can.
Have proof.
All right, let's call for a vote. We're voting on
approval of the modification.
Right, exactly. We're voting on approving of the modification. Those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, there's nobody opposed to that.
Next item?
Well, we don't have a next item. We need another motion.
Madam Chair.
We're done, I think.
Madam Chair.
Ms. Smith?
I move that we accept the extension to the contract to the option year.
Second.
We have a motion, a second, that we exercise the second year option on this contract. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. Those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed.
No.
No. That fails. Thank you. Wow. yes, Mr. Deegan.
You can relax. I just want to go back to item 10 for a second, and it says.
How long is it going to take us? We already voted on it.
I know. It says, Mr. Hughes. I think Mr. Requa, you had an act in this. This is something that I brought for the board's attention some months ago. concerning CDL licenses. Does this save the authority any money by indemnifying the state of Maryland?
Well, it does. Our proposal was to proceed. It came out of the APTA peer review that we should have a regular check on our CDL licenses, and we were proceeding to follow a contract approach to doing that. I think Mr. Deegan himself raised the issue that the state of Maryland may have this service available to us. We've investigated that, found out not only does the state of Maryland, but the state of Virginia also has that, and we think that the District of Columbia will soon have that. So this action was to approve indemnification. We'll get the services free and save over $50,000 a year. And I thank you for that.
Don't have to worry whether you're a union contractor or not.
Thank you, Mr. Deegan. I understand you were instrumental in this negotiation, so we appreciate your support. Thank you. We are at the end of our agenda. I would like to move that we go into executive session to discuss contractual matters.
Personnel matters.
And no, just contractual matters. Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I was going to do it my way, okay?
Your way.
So, fine. Thank you. All right. So, can I get a second to my motion?
Sure.
Thank you. If there's no discussion, we will go into executive session at the end of the meeting. And now I'll ask for committee reports. Jurisdictional reports. Mr. Graham.
No report.
Thank you. Thank you. Marilyn?
No
Mr.
report.
Deegan? Thank you. Virginia?
Not Madam Chair.
Sure you did. I think what Supervisor Hutchins meant to say was that the Virginia Transit Association will be holding its annual meeting May 11th, 12th, and 13th in the fair city of Alexandria.
You're right.
We look forward to seeing you all.
As spoken well by Mr. Zimmerman.
Thank you. Thank you.
I don't
if there's nothing further, the meeting.